Good morning. I invite your attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 3. I'm going to read two rather extensive texts that are related to each other. And then, God willing, we will conclude with John chapter 4, verse 42. And we will consider the subject. My message is titled, Jesus Christ, Savior of the World. We're going to look at two people in John chapter 3 and the other in John chapter 4. And see how indeed Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we Jews know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, and Jesus just almost appears to be rude here. Just cut the subject off and changed it for good reason. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, consider that phrase, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now come with me to chapter 4. We just considered the man Nicodemus. We now will consider an unnamed woman in Samaria. Begin reading in verse number 3. John chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus left Judea. That's where he had met with Nicodemus. Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, where he lived. And he must needs go through Samaria. It was necessity. There's no other way he's going to go. Oh, there was another way, but he could not take it. he had to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They then went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that, here's my text, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now consider that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world in both chapter 3 and in chapter 4. In both of them, 3 and 4. In chapter 3, in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In chapter 4, this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Every word here is important. The Christ, Son of God, Messiah. The Christ, because there's only one. The Savior, the only one of the world. Contrary to some, the text does not read that God loved everyone and he's the Savior of everyone. Does not read that. God so loved the world. That's not the same as everyone. He's the Savior of the world. And that is not the same as everyone. The Savior of the world. These two chapters highlight two individuals. And in your bulletin, you'll see an article in your bulletin, the contrast between them. Very brief. These two were as different as they could be. And yet, you find this. 2 points that I want you to see. The Savior of the world saves all the sorts of people in the world. And number two, the Savior of the world saves them all in the same way. They both were saved. Now, you just read of her salvation. Come see a man. He told me everything I ever did. And she believed, and because of her, many others believed. We are not told that Nicodemus believed. His conversion is indicated considerably later in the scriptures. In John chapter 7, Nicodemus defended Jesus, which just about got him in trouble. And remember that he was a high-ranking man, a ruler of the Jews, a very high-ranking member of the synagogue, of the Sanhedrin. But we have good confidence that he did indeed believe, though a timid believer he was, until he overcame his timidity at the death of Christ, and it was Nicodemus who buried him. Nicodemus publicly, I'm going to bury him. He and Joseph of Arimathea. Both of them were converted. She evidently immediately. He sometime later. But both of them proved to us that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world saves all the sorts of people in the world, and the Savior of the world saves them all in the same way. Consider point number one. The Savior of the world saves all the sorts of people in the world. And this world has many sorts of people. all kinds of different people. And Christ saves people regardless of their gender. Here in John 3, he's the Savior of a man. And here in John 4, he's the Savior of a woman. Some religions elevate men over women. Some religions elevate women over men. Jesus Christ saves them both alike and treats them alike. And then we read that in Christ there is neither male nor female. Your gender will not recommend you to God. Your gender will not bar you from God. He's the Savior of the world. Second, Christ saves people regardless of their name. We're still under the same main heading. Christ saves people regardless of their name. Now, this man's name is Nicodemus. We're told his name. There was a man of the Jews named Nicodemus. The word means conqueror. We know not how he came by that name, but it's a noble name. There, he's the conqueror. Yeah, but he's about to be conquered. He was a conqueror, a high man, elevated, high position. And here's this woman. What's her name? We're not told. Scriptures do not even give us her name. She's one of the most important women in Scripture, and we do not even know her name. Your good name will not recommend you to God. Your bad name will not bar you from God. And your anonymity among men will not make you anonymous to God. The Savior of the world saves people regardless of what their name is, and even if they do not have a name. He's the Savior of the world. Furthermore, Christ saves people regardless of their ethnicity. Here, in John 3, he saves a Jew. Here, in John 4, he saves a Samaritan. Now, let me explain the differences between these. We generally find people in Scriptures divided by Jew and Gentile. The two major divisions in Scriptures, Jew and Gentile. Jews were distinguished from Gentiles. Neither had anything to do with the other. But this woman is of a third sort, Samaritan. She is part Jew, part Gentile. This all came about after Samaria's fall to Assyria. You read about it in 2 Kings chapter 7. But when Samaria, northern Israel, the northern kingdom, separate from Judea, when the northern kingdom went off into captivity, the Assyrians brought in Gentiles to intermarry with the Jews who were there, and that's where they came from. So Jews and Gentiles do not care much for each other, but they both look down their noses at Samaritans. If I may use the term, they're half-breeds. That's what they were considered, half-breeds. It's okay to be full-blooded this or full-blooded that, but no. Half this and half that? No. That's what she was. She's a Samaritan. Well, Jesus Christ saved sinners from all ethnic groups. He sent his ministers to be witnesses to me in all Judea, the land of the Jews, and Samaria to the Samaritans, and to the end of the earth. That's the Gentiles. To the end of the earth. Now, it may be that one of these days, when we all have gone home to glory. We're going to get acquainted with one another and with believers there we've never seen. Perhaps someone who's in this building today will be asked, where'd the Lord save you? And the answer is, Shoto. Never heard of it. Shoto, where is it? It's close to DePuyer. I suppose I said that right. Never heard of that neither. Where is this place? It's up toward the end of the earth. Our Lord sends his disciples to preach the gospel to the end of the earth. Some of these are in places that are like that of which the tourist asked a person, how do I get to such and such place? And the person of that place said, you cannot get there from here. It's to the end of the earth. Well, that's what our Lord has done. Jews in Judea, Samaritans in Samaria, and then he says, go to the end of the earth, north and south, east and west. Go to the end of the earth, because the Lord saves the sorts of people found in every part of the earth. He sent his ministers with the everlasting gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Revelation 14:6. The saved in heaven are a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, singing to him, to Christ, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. I tell you, our Lord has people from all sorts of the earth, all places of the earth, and they're just every sort of people you can imagine. Why? He is the Savior of the world. Furthermore, Christ saves people regardless of their deeds. Their deeds. All right, there's Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews, and notice the scripture says he was a man of the Pharisees, the most rigid sect in Jewry. A Pharisee. Pharisees were holier than thou, self-righteous. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, like that sinner over yonder. They were just so proud of their deeds. This woman, she has no good deeds, not even in her own eyes. This woman was a sinful woman. She evidently was an adulteress. That's why she came for water at high noon. Respectable women come for water at sunrise or at sunset in the cool of the day. Well, at sunrise, this woman is probably still sleeping it off. And furthermore, she does not want to be seen in the company of respectable women who are there at the well in the morning. So high noon, here she comes. Good time for her. Nobody else is at the well, except on this occasion. This Son of Man is there. Woman, go call your husband. I have no husband. You're right about that. You've had five, and the man you're with now is not your husband. She was of unsavory sexual character. She had no good deeds. Nicodemus, why ask him? He's full of them. Her? Everybody knew she had none. But to Jesus, it matters not. Beware of your good deeds. They may prevent you from coming to Jesus. The biggest reason why people do not come to Jesus is because of their self-righteousness. If they ever see their need of righteousness, they'll come flying. Sinners, some say, I'm too big a sinner for God to save. No, you're not too big a sinner. You're just too proud a sinner. Jesus saves people regardless of their deeds. Your good deeds will not commend you to him. Your bad deeds will not prevent him from coming to you. He's the Savior of the world. Jesus saves people regardless of their religion. We've got two religions here in these two texts. The Jews worshipped in Jerusalem on a mountain. The Samaritans worshipped on another mountain, quite some distance away, in two different countries. And they worshipped not only on two different mountains, but in two separate ways. Nicodemus was of the Jews. His religion was that of the Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption, Paul tells us. Among the nations of the earth, they were the ones that God adopted to himself. To them belonged the glory. The Shekinah came down to visit them. To them belonged the covenants of Abraham and Sinai. To them belonged the giving of the law, for God never gave it to Gentiles. He gave that law to Jews. To them belonged the service of God in the tabernacle and in the temple. To them belong the promises, and of whom Christ came. Of whom Christ came. The greatest blessing God ever gave to the Jewish nation was that of bringing Christ out of their number. And what about this woman? What about this woman? When the kingdom of Israel split, Judah to the south, Samaria to the north. Now we've got two different kingdoms, north and south, but only one temple. And all the people of the northern kingdom have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. So the king had a brilliant idea. I'll make my own religion. I'll build myself my own temple. I'll have my own priesthood, my own sacrifices. It's a counterfeit religion. Oh, the devil is so good at that. The way of Jeroboam, the scripture calls it. The way of Jeroboam. The religion of the Jews was favored by God, but it did not commend one to God, else Nicodemus would not have needed salvation. The religion of the Samaritans was most abominable to God, but it did not bar one from God, else this Samaritan woman could not have found salvation in Christ. Our Lord saves people out of every religion. That includes agnosticism and atheism, which are professing religions. Our Lord saves them out of all religions, for he is the Savior of the world. Furthermore, Christ saves people regardless of their social status. This man Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, the teacher of Israel, and therefore ranked at the top of this favored people. And what about this woman? Now remember that of the Jews and Gentiles and Samaritans, the Samaritans were the lowest of the three. This woman is a woman, probably in a male-dominated society. And furthermore, she's a fallen woman. Folks, you can't get any lower than this woman. You cannot get higher than Nicodemus. You cannot get lower than her. And yet, our Lord saved them both. Furthermore, Christ saves people regardless of their time of meeting him. Of Nicodemus we read, he came to Jesus by night. Now, he's somewhat of a strange character. He's a ruler of the Jews. He gets respect wherever he walks. He's known wherever he walks. But nobody saw him walking that night. Under cover of darkness, he comes to Jesus. Perhaps he's timid. It appears he was a timid man. Perhaps he's just being discreet, because it was not advisable for a member of the Sanhedrin to be found talking to Jesus. But here he comes by night. The sun has set. It is late at night. Jesus is alone. And here comes Nicodemus by night. And this woman, she finds Jesus at the sixth hour. High noon. The sun is at its zenith. So it matters not the time of the day. The time of the day for salvation is not important. What is important is this. Make it today. Make it today. I cannot stress this point enough. I will not assume that everyone here is a believer. I will not assume that everyone who's watching the message live stream or will hear the message later, I will not assume that they all are believers. But I would say this, the time of day when you would seek Christ is not important, but the important thing is do it now. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You are not assured of tomorrow. You're not even assured of this afternoon. The only thing you are assured of is this moment. This moment. And many who expect to come to Christ in the midnight hour will find themselves dead in the 11th. Make it now, folks. Make it now. It matters not what time of the day is. The Savior of the world saves people at whatever hour it is. It matters not. It matters not. Point number two, the Savior of the world saves them all in the same way. Consider first that both these people came to Jesus because Jesus first went to them. Nicodemus is in Jerusalem. Jesus lived in Galilee, up to the north, long ways off. Nicodemus was not going to go to Galilee looking for Jesus. So Jesus went down to Judea so that Nicodemus could come to him. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because Jesus had already come to him. The Samaritan woman came to the well to meet Jesus because Jesus had already gone to the well. Consider, he must needs go through Samaria. There's no other option. He must go through Samaria. Why? Because he has an appointment at high noon. On a certain day at Jacob's well with a woman who does not know of the appointment, but she will keep it. Jesus went to her And then she came to Jesus. Christ must come to people before they can come to Him. And He comes to people so that they may come to Him. God's Word declares that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That verse has been getting a lot of attention here lately. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Notice, He came to sinners, and then sinners came to Him. In the house of Levi, later known as Matthew the Apostle, we read that many sinners came and sat down with Him, Matthew 9 verse 10, and then Mark tells us they followed Him. They could not have come to Jesus if Jesus had not come to them. He came into the world to save sinners, and sinners came to Him for salvation. He went down to Jericho one day. Went down to Jericho. And He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What's He doing in Jericho? He's looking for somebody. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The man He's looking for has climbed up into a sycamore tree. So Jesus walked to that tree. "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house." He knew where Zacchaeus was. Just as surely as He knew where that woman of Samaria would meet Him, He knew where He would meet Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, I have come to this tree. You come down." Zacchaeus came down. Zacchaeus came to Jesus because Jesus went to him first. Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." And repentant sinners come to Him, while the self-righteous go further from Him. He comes to call the righteous comes to call the sinners, and the sinners come. Now, consider furthermore, both these people recognize Jesus for whom and what He is. Nicodemus said to Him, "Rabbi," or "Master, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles, these signs that you do, unless God is with him." Nicodemus had learned something. We, who's we? Evidently, fellow members of the Sanhedrin. They would not be found following Jesus, but they knew He's got to be a man from God. He turned water into wine. He heals the sick. He gives sight to the blind. He opens the ears of the deaf. He even cures those who cannot walk. He's got to be a man of God. God must have sent him. No one but a man sent from God can do such miracles as this. Nicodemus knew something of Jesus. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." How would you feel if you walked up to a complete stranger and then he looked at you and you've never seen this stranger before? There's never been any contact between you. And then he looks at you and begins to tell you your life's history. Where'd you find that out? "Oh, I know more." And off he goes. He knows all. He has told this woman all about herself. He knows more about her than anyone else. That can be a scary person, folks. We can hide secrets from our spouse, from our children, from our co-workers. You will not keep it from him. You will not keep it from him. Sir, I perceive that thou art the prophet. What is a prophet? A man sent from God. Both Nicodemus and this woman recognized Jesus as a man from God. No one can speak these words that you speak unless God is with him. Now you see, he's the Savior of the world. It matters not whom and what you are. Matters not your ethnicity, your gender, your social status, your religion. None of these matter. Not at all. Jesus saves all sorts. He's the Savior of the world. He will save at any time. No one ever came to Jesus and found a closed sign on the door. No one ever did. No one ever called heaven looking for mercy and heard a busy signal. Never did. Never did. He's the Savior of the world. And it matters not who you are. But he is the Savior only of those who believe in him. Only of those. He therefore is not the Savior of everyone, but only of they who believe in him. And he tells his preachers to go into all the world, even to the end of the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Now, when you walk out that door this morning, which of those will you be? Will you be one whom Jesus came to save? Or will you be one of those who says, he's not for me. He's not for me. Oh God, our Father, bless, we pray, this message. Bless your Son. We bless him. And you have blessed him to save sinners as high and mighty as Nicodemus and as low and shameful as this woman and even this chief of sinners behind this pulpit and some in these pews. Bless, we pray, your word to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.